2-1-2 break. Lead pass, Celebrini moving in, shoot, star!
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster.
Will Smith in front, he scores!
As the official ticket marketplace of the Sharks in the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live.
Palat the drive, great save by Askarov!
If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
The first of an ongoing series, the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the Sharks Audio Network. I'm Dan Rusinowski, he's Drew Remenda. And Drew, this is an exciting time of the year.
It is. We wish we were in them, of course, like the old days, but we're not yet. There's a lot of excitement yesterday when you are, and the day before when you listen to the crowds. The atmosphere in Carolina especially was through the roof when the Carolina Hurricanes took on New Jersey. It was everything that we know and we have come to expect and Sharks fans bring all the time, which is that excitement, that nervous energy of a game one in your own building to start the playoffs.
Well, that's what it's all about. And of course, there's something else that's going on, too, that we're preparing for American Hockey League playoffs between the San Jose Barracuda and the Ontario Reign. I'm really excited about that opportunity for some of the young players in the Sharks organization to get some experience in the postseason.
Yeah, they need that. And it's going to be interesting. The first two games are played at Crypto in L.A., and then they're moving to Ontario because of building availability. The big question will be who's available for the Barracuda. Is Andrew Podorowski going to be ready to go? Zach Ostapchuk, Thomas Bordlo, Jack Thompson, Yaroslav Askarov didn't play the two games on the weekend against the Calgary Wranglers. He had an illness, but all signs are leading to the fact that he will be ready to go in game one, which is really important for Yaro. It's really important for the Sharks, and it's really important for the future of the Sharks. If they get their guys back, Colin Graf is back playing, Luca Cagnoni's back playing, Quentin Musty's up playing. If they get all the guys back that are available to them on their allowed roster, they could be a force to reckon with. And I think, Danny, they need to go on a decent run here to really gain that experience that the Sharks are looking forward to having in their lineup next season. Now, the Ontario Reign, coached by the great Marco Sturm, they played them pretty much 500. I think Ontario has the edge on a shootout, but they're very close in the way that they played each other. They're very, very close in points. Marco's done a really good job with that team, coaching them. Johnny McCarthy's done an outstanding job coaching. The key is going to be, for me, as I said, can the Barracuda get back to the full roster that they expect? And Yaroslav Askarov.
Well, Andrew Podorowski won the John Sullenberger Trophy as the league's leading scorer, and he even missed a bunch of games, which is an incredible testimony to what he's done. Let's not forget about the captain of the team, Jimmy Schilt, too, who's back with that club. I think he provides a lot of stability on the back line. I thought he did a good job in San Jose when he played for the Sharks.
He did a great job. And Jimmy and Andrew have gone to the finals the last 2 years in a row in the AHL for the Calder Cup, with the Coachella Valley Firebirds losing to Hershey both times. Jimmy is a very stable guy back there, really smart, very calm, tons of experience. And listen, this is a team that's really good. And Andrew Podorowski has been out since March 28th, and the season just ended yesterday. So he still won the scoring race, even though he's missed that many games.
It's incredible.
It is. Lower body injury. They think he's going to be back. He's been skating. They think he's going to be okay. Bordalo, upper body injury. They think he's going to be okay. He got that with the Sharks. Zach Ostapchuk, lower body injury. Blocked a shot in wherever we were on that last road trip. They think he's
Calgary. Skating. Was it in Calgary?
Yeah, I think it was in Calgary. And then Jack Thompson. Jack's been skating at Sharks Ice, and they think he'll be ready to go as well. If they get those guys back, they're going to be a very tough out for any team. But It's the best of three to start. And it's really interesting that they're starting at crypto.com because of building availability in Ontario. So maybe that gives the, not an edge, but evens out, you know, that home ice advantage that you would get, because not a, a lot of people are going to be able to make that trek to LA from Ontario who follow the team.
Well, you also add in the fact that some of these guys that we've been talking about that have been added to the Barracuda roster have had some games at Crypto.com Arena against the Kings at the NHL level. So it's not like it's an unusual building for them, but it does add an interesting wrinkle. The other part of it is it's not a 2+1 series. It is a best of three, but all three games are in Southern California. And I'm looking at the recent history of the Cuda. The last time they played Ontario, they lost 4-0 and they beat them 4-1. And both games were played at Tech Arena, but the last trip to Ontario, they won by the score of 3-1. And so they've had some victories on the road against this team. So I don't think that that's going to be intimidating to them whatsoever.
The key is their starts, Danny. They haven't started games well this year. They've been very inconsistent in their starts. And lately they were giving up goals early, like not just one goal early, like first shift early, then the next shift two, down two, and then all of a sudden they've got to play catch up. Their power play is awesome. Podorowski gets back and Luca Cagnoni runs it. They are very tough when they get that man advantage. They have a very good penalty kill as well, and they should, because they're in the box quite a bit. They play a very rowdy brand of hockey. Listen, if they get past Ontario and they get to the second round, folks, come out and watch this team. They're a fun team to watch. AHL hockey is great hockey. It's got a ton of energy. It isn't as structured as the NHL. Every league, from the time you start playing organized hockey, the next league you graduate to gets more and more structured. In the AHL, it's got enough of chaos in it that it makes it really exciting, and you don't really know what's going to happen in the game. So that's a lot of fun to watch. But
playoff hockey also is really great in the American Hockey League, because the Calder Cup, the second most prestigious trophy in the game, is something that that is just a great goal for everybody to have. And it is a little bit more organized in the playoffs, but it's still chaotic because anything can happen. And I think that's one of the exciting things. Hopefully there'll be some Cuda fans that decide to make the trek to Southern California to check out the games too, to support the team. But if you don't have the ability to do that, remember that all the games will be on the Sharks Audio Network starting on Thursday. Nick Nolenberger will have the call at the Crypto.com Arena, 7 o'clock face-off time there. And then Saturday, game two, 6 o'clock face-off time. And if necessary, game three will be played at Toyota Arena in Ontario, which would change the whole picture, I think, making things really interesting. Let's just hope that the Cuda can take them in two games.
Exactly. 100%. Get those first two, come back, get a little bit of a rest, and be ready for round two.
And so now it is on to chat about the Stanley Cup playoffs. And boy, we've seen some unbelievable games so far. New Jersey against Carolina. What a series that is already, with the Hurricanes winning by the score of 4-1. What were your initial thoughts on that?
How dominant the Carolina Hurricanes were. First period, they were really good. Second period, according to Sheldon Keefe and anybody that watched the game, Sheldon Keefe, head coach in New Jersey, they were dominated by the Carolina Hurricanes, the New Jersey Devils. Carolina was all over it. They played such a strong game. Lots of shots, which I like. They moved the puck out really well. They did most things right. And even when the game got a little bit where Jersey got back into it in the third period, it really didn't matter, because Carolina was in complete control of that hockey game from the get-go. And the crowd was fantastic.
Yeah, they're ready for the big march there in Carolina. And of course, Brent Burns continues his career. A lot of San Jose Sharks, ex-Sharks kind of contacts in this series. I saw Timo Meier got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty late in the second period, so the Devils a little frustrated. That's going to set up things. But to me, the most interesting thing to note about this series, number one, aside from the fact that Freddie Anderson is playing well in goal for them when he's being challenged for the Carolina Hurricanes, but those are a couple of trades that they ended up making. First, getting Rantanen and then moving him to Dallas. And here comes Logan Stankoven.
Yep. Here's Martinuk trying to feed one in front. He sure got a piece. Martinuk taps it again. They score! Martinuk foul. Logan Stankoven, a turnover or a takeaway. Either way, it's 2-0.
And that was 2-0 in favor of the Hurricanes. And then Stankoven scored another one.
Taylor Hall cross ice pass. Moving in and scoring is Stankoven. That's his second. It's a power play goal, and it's 3-0.
By that time, the game was over, but it's good to see that Logan Stankoven has actually made things work out for the Hurricanes, and it seems like he fits in like a glove with that system that Brind'Amour wants him to play.
Yeah, he played really well yesterday, but he has been playing well since he got to the Carolina Hurricanes from Dallas. He had a down year. He was also eligible for Rookie of the Year this year because he didn't play as many games as in his rookie year that qualified him for that. So he was able to be in that conversation. We thought he'd be certainly more of a topic when it came to scoring this year. Didn't work out as far as things were going for him in Dallas. Yesterday, played great, and he was buzzing. He's not a very big guy, but he got his feet moving. And you heard that shot that on the pass from Taylor Hall. That was beautifully placed up off the crossbar and posted in.
Meanwhile, the Winnipeg Jets got off to their first playoff game with some scary moments in the beginning because the St. Louis Blues are a team that really makes things difficult. But it would be Connor Hellebuyck that made a pretty big save in the third period to keep things on their side.
Jets will bring it in. Tanev to Lowry. Shoots it wide of the net and angles to DeMello. He keeps it in. Broberg and Lowry going into the corner. It's knocked loose. Foxa able to lift it high enough to get it out. Sandberg is there, and he lost it. Breaking in. Kyrou. Partial break. Shooting in. Hellebuyck with the save. Kyrou tried to tuck it in on the forehand. That's a huge save from Connor Hellebuyck.
That was a really gigantic save by Hellebuyck, who has certainly been under pressure for what he's going to do in the playoffs, given the last couple of years. But after, as I said, some scary moments early where the Blues had the lead 1-0 on that goal by Robert Thomas, and then a couple of big goals by Winnipeg, then two more by St. Louis. But then he made that big save and things kind of got under their control.
Going into the third period, the Winnipeg Jets were down. I didn't think Connor Hellebuyck looked confident at all. And why would he? Because last playoffs, he was, even though he said inexcusably or unexplainably that he thought he had a great series. He was red rotten against the Colorado Avalanche last year. And the big question is this year, going into the playoffs, can Connor Hellebuyck keep going with the Vezina performance that he's given all year? Some argue MVP. He wasn't very good to start the game. He made that big save. And you and I have talked about this many, many times. The fact that sometimes it's not how many you make, it's when you make them. The interesting thing about that game, too, is that St. Louis record going into the third period with a lead was almost unbeatable. I think it was 28-2-1 or something like that. It was ridiculous how good they were going in the third with the lead. Conversely, the Winnipeg Jets weren't very good without the lead going into the third period. And they flipped the switch, turned the tables, call it what you want, where at one point late in the game, the St. Louis Blues only had one shot in the third period. Where have we heard that one before, Danny?
And I've seen that.
Yeah, a few times. And Winnipeg played a terrific third period. But also, I got to mention, how good is Kyle Connor?
Oh, the goal he scored was absolutely spectacular. And here is the call of that goal from Paul Edmonds.
Big wins the draw. Morrissey, left side point. Along the boards now for Scheifele. Twists off the boards. Far side. Shot. They score! Kyle Connor with his first of the playoffs. And Winnipeg has regained the lead. It's 4-3 for the Jets with 1:36 remaining in this third period. And Scheifele, what a pass to spot Connor, and a one-timer beats Binnington. And the Jets have taken the lead, and this place is on its ear.
Boy, you want to talk about fan bases. How about the Winnipeg fans at Canada Life Center, 15,225. If they could have shoehorned another couple of thousand in there, they could have. But they were all on the streets watching on the big screen, too. Just a great scene in Winnipeg.
Yeah, it was. It's called the Whiteout. Everybody wears white. It's been going on for the longest time. And the fans were outside. That play was a terrific play. Scheifele wins the draw. Then he scoots behind the net. Puck goes out to the point. It goes D to D, then down low to Scheifele. Scheifele rolls up past the off the flank. And Kyle Connor's just waiting. And what a shot it was. But you're right. The crowd went crazy. The people in the streets went nuts. There was one shot early in the early in the game from the drone outside. And the streets of Winnipeg on Portage, and there was nobody on that side. Like, there was literally two cars on the busiest street in Winnipeg, and everybody was at home watching the game or outside the rink or inside the rink. It was terrific.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Lots of amazing things happening in the Stanley Cup playoffs, even after only a couple of days. Here we go with some more. We move on to a series between the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Stars. Now, we expected this was going to be a crazy series, Drew, because of the whole Rantanen thing.
Yeah.
Two really, really great teams, some great goaltenders. And, of course, everybody in San Jose is really excited about Mackenzie Blackwood and the fact that that he is making his first playoff appearance ever in this particular situation. And here he is very early in the first period.
Cleared back up. Another turnover. Dallas. Valachushkin trying to get to it. Somehow the Stars connect with Dadonov. Throws it down low for a hit. Save made by Blackwood.
Yeah, things got a little excited, but Connor McGehee got really excited as the game went on.
22 seconds to go in the power play. Lindell now for Tyler Seguin. He flips it in, and he gets there first behind the net. Hit a throw by the Avalanche. Taves couldn't clear the zone. Bouncing puck in the slot. One-timer. Save made by Blackwood. Rebound is there for Granlund. Ben lets it go. Save made by Blackwood again. Holy McKenzie. Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin with two glorious chances for the Dallas Stars. And Mackenzie Blackwood with an outstanding stop. And he was able to cover up the rebound.
And then holy Mackenzie.
Now Harley. Back to Duchesne. Down low. Wyatt Johnson. Pot in the circle. Shadowed by Devon Taves. Harley up top. Duchesne. Down low. All alone. Johnson in front. Oh, what a save made by Blackwood. And the Avalanche clear it down ice. Inconceivable. Mackenzie Blackwood has had two Seven Bell saves on the power play in this hockey game, and he stones Wyatt Johnson right there.
But there's more.
Lehkonen is tripped. Bork the other way. Shot save made by Blackwood again. Bork his own rebound behind the net. Avs are swimming here a little bit. CeCe holding, shooting. Save made. Blackwood. Rebound is there. Steal with it. Save made. Rebound again. Blackwood another stop as he got to his left. Mackenzie Blackwood is a maniac.
Nothing surprises me there. And of course, this guy is just so excited to be in the playoffs. Mackenzie Blackwood, very first playoff game. And we didn't even get to any of the goals yet, but it was 0-0 when all those saves were being made.
Thanks to Mackenzie. Yeah, the game ends up with a large margin of scoring for the Colorado Avalanche, but it didn't really show what the game was as far as how close it was. But Mackenzie was great. There was a couple of times in the game, and we'll get to the goals, where Mackenzie makes a save, a couple of them, and then the Avs go down the other way and score. First playoff game, as you mentioned, I think he only had one other playoff appearance that was in the ECHL a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But that was this was his first real professional NHL start and appearance in the playoffs, and the big man wasn't phased one bit. He was brilliant.
Arturi Lehkonen also got things started with a big goal for Colorado.
Puck is free. Avs have it. Nages into the path of Nathan Mackinnon across center ice. Mackinnon into the star zone. Hands it off. Lehkonen a shot. Sam made Ottinger. Rebound is there. They score! We're up all night to get lucky. Charging towards the net, Arturi Lehkonen has it bounce off his entire body. And with 10:30 to go in the second period, the Avalanche strike first against the Stars.
And then Connor McGehee really got excited when Nate McKinnon put one in.
Avs keep it alive. Makar shot off the end wall. Avs trying to get there. Stars actually did, but they gave it right back to Nathan McKinnon between the legs for Valachushkin, all the way over for Drouin. Now Cale Makar creeping in. Makar hands it off for McKinnon. McKinnon lets a shot go. He scores! The Mac attack is back, Jack. The fifth most playoff goals among active players now has 49. And with 3:22 to go in the second period, the Avalanche score on the front half of a double minor. It's off the elbow of Babushkin, past Ottinger, and Nathan McKinnon has 2 points in the second period. Colorado leads 2-0.
And they ended up winning by the score of 5-1, and the end of the game was an exciting moment for Avs fans.
Duchesne needs a provisional, near side Marchman. Launches it ahead, tipped by Dallas, glove
by Charlie Coyle. He also has been magnificent. Stick handles around one and two. Gets it behind the net, and he's the first one there. 4 seconds to go. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. 1 second. Colorado comes into Dallas and wins game one. Three straight goals in the third period make it a 5-1 final as the Avalanche have taken home ice away from the Dallas Stars.
But before we finish up, Drew, on this, I can't help but play this Connor McGehee cut of a Dallas goal.
25 seconds to go in the power play. Wyatt Johnson down low, wants to glide in front. Duchesne, a one-timer. Save made by Blackwood. He stays strong up against his right post. Puck is loose, thrown in front. Handed off by Thomas Harley, and now he can't get a shot through either. Rantanen mishandled it. Lindgren takes it away, but he can't clear. Blocked by Mikko, goes right to Wyatt Johnson up top for Harley. 5 seconds to go in the power play. Shot, and they score. Somehow, Mackenzie Blackwood didn't have a stick. It's leaning up against the side of the net. And there's an explanation being given to Ryan Lindgren by Kelly Sutherland. I have no idea how Mackenzie Blackwood did not have a stick for that sequence. And the worst goal song in the history of the National Hockey League is here for your ears for the first time tonight.
I just can't help but think about that goal song because it drives me crazy in Dallas, too.
Not as much as the Chicago one drove us crazy those years.
Fair enough.
If you were wondering who Connor cheers for or broadcasts for, he leaves no doubt. He's very entertaining. He makes me laugh every time.
Pretty exciting stuff. And, of course, a lot of great playoff series to talk about in our Stanley Cup playoff report.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Let's go back to the Eastern Conference and talk a little Toronto Maple Leafs, Ottawa Senators. It's been a long time since these two teams have played in the playoffs. Ottawa finally gets back in. Brady Tkachuk is ready to go, and things are really hyped up in the province of Ontario. But the Maple Leafs kind of put a little dent in all that with a pretty important victory.
A very important victory. And the big question going into this series was for the Maple Leafs, how are the big boys going to do? Because they're the ones that receive criticism. Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander. How are they going to be in the playoffs? Because they're the ones that get the big checks, and they have not delivered as far as enough playoff wins for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, they answer that question in game one.
First goal to the playoffs, though, scored by a wily veteran, Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
And the Leafs break it out at center. Here's the line to brought in over the line now, looking past in front of another shot. There! Oliver Ekman-Larsson jumps into the rush. The fourth flag gets the Leafs on the board.
The irrepressible Joe Bowen with the call on that. And then Mitchell Marner, one of those veterans you talked about that has been questioned about his playoff performances, made it 2-0.
Knocked down by the Maple Leafs ahead. It goes. Marner's got a breakaway. He's in on goal. Deke shoots.
Mitchie Marner.
Mackinac.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love Joe Bowen. Great man.
Good, terrific guy. And he and Jimmy Ralph, just terrific people. I've been doing it for a long time with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Key on that play is Austin Matthews in his own zone, knocks the puck down along the boards, gets inside position, and then quickly gets the puck up to Mitchie, and he scores.
Yeah, it really was. And then the other guys that came through, Tavares with a goal, Nylander with a goal. But here's something else that happened in this game that I think is really important for this series.
Riley loses the puck and Tkachuk has a breakaway. Tkachuk is in a goal. Stop by Stolarz. Huge save by Anthony Stolarz.
That was on a Brady Tkachuk breakaway with the score 2-1, and then Stolarz came through again.
Into the slot area on the right wing side, a shot blocked by Nyes. Centering pass, Stolarz! Huge save on Shane Pinto!
Shane Pinto's a pretty darn good hockey player. Those are two big chances for Ottawa to get back into the game, and Stolarz shut the door, and I think that's going to give the Leafs a lot of confidence too.
Well, there's the other aspect of their playoffs, right? In the last number of years, have they had the goaltending that they need to be a team that can progress through the playoffs? And the answer has been no, resoundingly no. Stolarz came in this year. He's played very well. We remember Anthony Stolarz with the Anaheim Ducks. and he has played very well. But again, when you make those saves, especially in the playoffs, are just as important, if not more important, of how many you make. And he made two big saves, critical opportunities for the Senators. And the Senators really didn't, Danny, for the most part, weren't able to do much after that. We'll see if they can regroup, but they've got to be way more disciplined as far as staying out of the penalty box. And they couldn't really find their legs with any consistency. They couldn't really get going and get any big pressure on the Maple Leafs. And the Leafs actually, it looked like a fairly, I don't mean to be disrespectful, fairly easy game for them.
It looked like it, but then again, they had to pay the price. And Matthew Nye is a good example of that. The young kid is going to be a restricted free agent on July the 1st. Hint, hint to everybody out there who wants to throw out a little offer sheet. He blocked the shot. He got into his position where he was injured, and he came right up the ice and did this.
Comes back to Marner at the point. Rashad coming! Big rebound in front of the goal. And Zuck, right, they score!
Make him pay.
Matthew Nye jams it home! 6-2 Leafs!
That was after he got shaken up, and then, of course, at the end of the game, everybody got shook up.
What is Jensen doing? Pinto just suckered Chris Tanev.
Yeah, Pinto and Tanev pushing. Nothing more is going to come with the horn sounding.
All you can say is, it's on.
It's on, absolutely. There was a couple of calls. P.K. Subban on ESPN, he was distraught about a call on Tanev, where Tanev got hit. Tanev exposed his back just at the last second. It's one of those situations where a guy goes to protect the puck and they feels the pressure coming, so he turns his back right away. And Tim Stützle has got he can't do anything, and he ends up running into Tanev. Wasn't hard. Tanev goes in the boards to get the call. Then right after that, there's another call, which was it went to a 5-on-3. I can't remember who took it, but it was definitely a cross-check in the back on Austin Matthews. That went 5-on-3, and then the game never was the same after that. But the Ottawa Senators, if they want to win this series, if they have hope of winning this series, they have to muddy the waters, but they've got to stay out of the penalty box when they do.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Some series get going in the beginning of the week, and of course, one of them is Los Angeles playing against the Edmonton Oilers. Boy, this is going to be awfully fun, Drew, don't you think?
I do. The big question is with the Edmonton Oilers. They played the Sharks, they spent the next number of days until yesterday here in the Bay Area because they were able to get ice here and practice. The big question is, who is going to be ready to play for the Edmonton Oilers? Evander Kane may be back into the lineup. Connor McDavid, well, we saw him play against the Sharks, so he's fine. Leon Draisaitl will certainly be back in the lineup. But they've got a few other ones that they're wondering about who's going to be available. That's the big question mark.
Stetcher's not ready. And, of course, Stetcher's not ready. Nope. Ekholm's not ready. And they say that Kane is not ready for game one.
Oh, okay.
They said that he's hopeful for game two or three.
But he hasn't played all year. Can he be up to speed? Can he get going? That's the big question. But also, you go into a situation that's different from the last 3 years where Edmonton had home ice. And the team that had the best home ice advantage this year was the Los Angeles Kings, over 800 winning percentage at home. So this is going to be a really interesting series. Many people think that this is the time, this fourth time is a charm for the LA Kings to win this series after being ousted the last three playoffs by Edmonton.
Four straight years for this team, but LA's got home ice. They were one of the best home teams in the NHL this year. Drew Doughty is excited to get this thing going, and he says that there's some things that might be a little bit different this year than last year.
I think our goaltending is very solid this year. I think our D-core became more solid this year, and I think our forwards became deeper throughout the whole lineup, and all those things make us a much better team this year, and I feel we have a lot more confidence going into it.
Meanwhile, in Montreal, the Canadiens now are taking on the Washington Capitals, and that's quite a challenge for Martin Saint-Louis' team, who got into the playoffs, and he talked about their chances in the series.
I mean, we've beat some really good teams this year. I think second half of the season, I think we're not the same team as first half. You know, I think it's a group that really believe in each other, that play hard for one another. And, you know, I think that's going to help us.
It's going to be fantastic. The San Jose Sharks are not in the playoffs, but the San Jose Barracuda are. We'll have all the action on the Sharks audio network during the course of that series with the Ontario Reign, and we'll also keep you updated. That concludes this edition of the Stanley Cup Playoff Report.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks audio network.